Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm delighted to talk to Shel Little. Shel is a senior accessibility specialist, inclusive design leader, and international keynote speaker. With over 10 years of experience in the accessibility field, Shel is known for her contributions to cognitive accessibility in both digital and gaming spaces. She is dedicated to integrating accessibility into the beginning of the product lifecycle by partnering with and educating design teams. Her current venture is creating classes aimed at teaching designers how to use and understand the accessibility standard called the Web Content Accessibility Guideline, or WCAG. Her other passions are speaking about disability rights and disability inclusion in the workplace. Outside the office, Shel is a cat parent, gamer, and overall neurodivergent dork. Shel, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. And today you want to talk about the non-dorky subject of Minecraft.
Yeah, super not dorky.
I would say it's a jock subject.
Yeah. It's like a sports bar thing. You go and watch Minecraft competitions at sports bars. yes, Minecraft. I think for me, the funniest thing I've ever said in my entire life, I've already said it, and it's a huge bummer. I was late to my autism diagnosis, and I burst through the door, and I said to the lady, I was like, sorry, I'm late to my autism diagnosis. There was a Minecraft event going on. And I think, like, she just, like, wrote on the paper, like, yes, like, we're done here. Let's wrap this meeting up. So kind of like a, you know, something I didn't intend to happen was to get this much into Minecraft, but I'm really, really glad that I did. I kind of go through phases where I'll play for nonstop for like 6 months and then take a couple months off. But it's been a hobby of mine for quite a while now.
Okay, so let's dive into it. And I mean, what better place to start than the usual question, the origin story. How did you get into Minecraft?
Yeah, back in the day, I started playing Minecraft probably like 2015, 16. I did not understand this block game. I was like, it's ugly, it's blocks. I don't get the point of this game. But some friends of mine spun up a server and we're all playing on it. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll go on. And how I find, like, how I got into Minecraft and how I find other people get into Minecraft is just picking a goal. And you learn so much of the game mechanics trying to achieve that goal that by the time you achieve the goal, you're hooked and you're like, oh, I'm already in. And I think what really hit me hard was my friends are all over the place. We have friends, you know, internationally on different time zones. And what really struck me first of like, oh, this might become a thing, is the fact that you've got essentially a digital shared third space where friends can gather and create memories together and work together. And that was like, I remember I was on vacation in the Netherlands and I hopped on a Discord call and friends were playing together and someone shared their screen to me. And I was like, I'm on vacation right now, but I'm a part of these memories being made on this Minecraft server of all, like, you know, grownups. And that was like the beginning of the slippery slide of getting Minecraft as a special interest for me.
You came into Minecraft when it was, I would say, probably fairly established by that point.
Yes, yes. I think I joined right after the 1.1415 update, and we're on 1.21 right now. So Minecraft was pretty well established, I would say. It was right after the villager update. So it looks pretty similar to how it does, or it did then, now.
You said that the best way to get into Minecraft is picking a goal and just going at it, and you'll learn a lot of the mechanics and how the game works through that. Starting to play in Minecraft, did you read anything? Did anyone show you the basics, or did you just sort of struggle with it?
Yeah, I definitely struggled with it. And I know that was like the original game design was like, you got to figure it out. But thankfully, when I joined, there was a really well-established wiki. So I lived in that wiki. I was like so deep in it. But yeah, you make a lot of mistakes, blow yourself up a lot, be really scared of everything, because like Minecraft is really scary, and slowly get more and more comfortable with the game. And I think something that helped me learn more and more was there are so many content creators who play Minecraft like professionally. And that was really huge to like watch other people play and be like, I had no idea that was even an option. I had no idea you could even do that. And so for like content creators, there are, you can do so much in Minecraft professionally. I mean, you can be a builder, someone who just is really does beautiful builds, a redstoner, so someone who does like technical Minecraft. You can be a movement player, so someone who does parkour, PvP, so player versus player. You could just become really good at that. There are so many different options, and I had no idea. There's also like professional speedrunners who speedrun Minecraft, and I had no clue until I really got into the Minecraft scene, like on YouTube specifically. And that was like really, really eye-opening for me to learn how to actually play the game.
Was it something that you watched as entertainment, or did you also take some of those things to your own style?
Definitely entertainment. There's a lot of like really famous servers where many YouTubers play together and all create content. But there's also a really big community of people who make tutorials. For example, you can fly in Minecraft with Elytra, and I would like to have lots of rockets to fly. In order to have lots of rockets, you need gunpowder, and gunpowder is dropped by the very famous mob, the creeper. And so to make a creeper farm, there are very specific things you have to do in order to only spawn creepers. So you pop on YouTube, you type in, you know, creeper farm, and you're able to see and, you know, learn from everybody else who has been playing Minecraft longer. And that was also really, really big to be like, oh, you can make farms? You can do stuff like that? That was huge to get me hooked on the game.
So I'm assuming you are playing, and actually correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you started with story mode and you later moved into creative.
No. So I started with like just general story mode Minecraft on a, you know, survival multiplayer server. And then what happened is I moved into modded Minecraft. So I very rarely play vanilla Minecraft now. So that's where I spend most of my time with friends, is playing in modded Minecraft servers. So I'm not a huge creative person personally, because I'm not a huge builder. I am like, I like to adventure and I like to grind. So I like to, like, if you're digging a hole of that needs like 2 million blocks moved, I'm your guy, call me up. Like, that's what I like to do. It was like, oh, I love vanilla Minecraft. And then I got introduced to modded and I was like, oh, there's so much more here than just the base game. There is so much more to play.
That is interesting, because I don't know much about modded Minecraft. What are those mods that you specifically like?
Yeah, there are so many mods, like thousands and thousands of mods, but there are some pretty famous mod packs. So people work really hard to put packs of different mods together and make sure they're all compatible. For example, a mod pack that I've been playing that I really love is Cobblemon, and it's literally all the Pokemon games in Minecraft. And I am not a Pokemon person, I'm a Minecraft person. So we have been playing Cobblemon. I have a big server with a bunch of people on, and yeah, we're like catching Pokemon, and like I have a Pokemon that's like my riding mount, so I'll fly around on it. And the Cobblemon mod pack itself has all of, like, I'm not a huge Pokemon person, but it has like the berries, it has the breeding mechanics, it has like all the stuff of the different Pokemon games all together. And it's all fan made, it's all free to use. It's just passion projects that people have. And the more people that play, the more people that contribute, the better the packs get. We're playing another pack right now called Beyond the Horizon, and it's just an adventure pack. So what it does is basically it lets you see thousands of blocks out, but how it does it is it takes the blocks and makes them like really low res, but they're so far away, it doesn't matter. And like I have a plane that I fly around in, and we're adventuring, and there's dungeons and floating airships full of spawners. And it's just a big adventure pack, tons of magic mods, tons of like structures. It changes the way that you beat the game essentially. And it makes it fresh and new. So it's like, you know, I totally respect people who play vanilla nonstop, because you really can do a lot in vanilla. But playing modded, it changes everything about the game. It can, if you want to. And it's really, really fun.
You have these different mods, you have different servers. Is there a server that you constantly play in, or do you sort of pick and choose based on your mood, what you feel like doing that day?
Like right now, for example, we're waiting for a Kabomon update. It's going to be a really big one. So we're all kind of paused on the Kabomon server. And what we'll do is we talk to the community of friends that play, and someone was like, hey, check out this mod pack. And we spun up a new server. So there are people who still kind of play on the Kabomon server, but like all of our focus right now is on the Beyond the Horizon server. So it really just depends. We used to play on a mod pack that basically made Minecraft a procedurally generated dungeon runner. So very roguelike. And it was super fun. But yeah, I think interest kind of wanes as you get through the pack. And that's what's so fun is you just spin up a new server and start over and get the joy of like learning again and, you know, running into the mods that you're comfortable with and then getting to pick new mods to play with, depending on, you know, the pack will have like, say, 6 magic mods and you get to pick like which magic mod do you want to focus on? And that kind of churns depending on interest, which is, I find pretty fun. Sometimes it's sad because you'll like have to retire a server, but it's the same people you're playing with. So the memories kind of roll through.
You mentioned something interesting earlier. You said you're not a Pokemon player, you're a Minecraft player. Is this something unique about someone who is a Minecraft player?
I think it's just like the deep knowledge that I have about Minecraft, which I find that's probably one of my favorite parts about Minecraft. When it comes to the game, like you can see spawn rates, you can see the code to find, okay, I need this particular mob. Where can I find it? What biome? Okay, let's go find that biome. So for me, it's the deep-seated knowledge of Minecraft versus we have friends on the server who do not play Minecraft, but they do play Pokemon. And it's harder for them because they don't know the basics of Minecraft, like how to survive, essentially. So, you know, we help gear them up, but they're Pokemon knowledge is really deep. Like they understand how to put a team together. I just have pretty Pokemon and we run around and do Minecraft stuff. So it's like, it's almost like we're playing different games on the same server. Like they're playing Pokemon. They are getting a great team. They're leveling up their Pokemon. They're min-maxing their, you know, their stats so they can win battles. I'm mining and I'm running around and I'm finding pretty blocks and, you know, I like, for example, I got all the berries. I bred all the berries. There's like 100, 200 berries. So I did that, but I don't necessarily care about the Pokemon part. So it's been fun watching the dichotomy of the different groups of like people who are just Pokemon players and people who are mostly just, you know, they'll play a Pokemon Go, but they're mostly just Minecraft players. It's a very different vibe.
Minecraft is one of the best examples of an open world, near limitless creativity. Is this something you're drawn into in general? Like there's a lot of other games, video games that are open worlds. Is this something that you find yourself enjoying being immersed in? Or is Minecraft something that's a bit unique?
Yeah, I think that's the problem is like Minecraft, while it's like it's open world, it's also considered like sandbox. So there aren't limits. Like you can spawn thousands and thousands of blocks out. They will keep procedurally generating new biomes. And you can, like, there's the game loop typically is you get on a server, you gear up, you go into the Nether, you get your blaze rods, and you get your eyes, and you make Eyes of Ender. You find the stronghold. It's an underground, procedurally generated dungeon, essentially. You go to another dimension called the End and kill the dragon, and that's it. That's the game. But you don't have to do that. Like, we didn't kill the dragon. Sometimes we would just, like, because the wings that you want are in that dimension. So the dragon will be, like, you know, flying around and we'll just bridge. Bye-bye! We just leave it and bridge and just go out because we want wings. So you don't have to beat the game. There's no, like, there's no story you're stuck in. It's basically whatever you want it to be. And I have yet to find a game that scratches that kind of itch of freedom. And, like, I can do whatever I want. And there's also the other side of it, which is, like, everything's so open. Like I can find out everything. Like there's the SciCraft community. So it's like they do like the science side of it. They can tell you how to spawn any mob, how to only spawn that mob, how to break the game, how to make the game like look and play in ways that it should not play and be in. Everything's open. And like I'll play other games and I'll be like, okay, what's the spawn rate of this? Say I'm fishing. And I'm like, what's the spawn rate of this fish? And that information isn't anywhere. And I'm like, but I want to know what the spawn rate is or like what is its favorite lure, and there's no information. So I'm so spoiled with, you know, the wikis and the amount of information. Like anytime a new update comes out, there are people poking and prodding and trying to find every, you know, mechanic and aspect of every new block or mob added. And I think that I can't find that in any other game. And that's something that really draws me in.
Interesting. Is it the aspect of just knowing everything about that world?
It's an autism thing for me. It's like, I love to min-max. I love max efficiency. So instead, I don't like to like wildly guess. I like to know. And it feels really good to know. So if someone's like, hey, at what level should I mine for diamonds? I know, you know, statistically speaking, some of the best levels is negative, like 52 is one of the best levels to mine at. And people can argue back and forth because there's different reasons, but there's like a definitive answer. Like, where can I find the best way to find coal? It's up. You have to go up in the mountains. Like there's just, everything is, there's meaning and there's logic and there's reason behind everything. And that feels really good to my brain.
You mentioned that you play with friends. Tell me about the community around Minecraft.
The Minecraft community is probably one of the best things that I have in my life. It is full of so many different people from so many different backgrounds who all love this game. And you are able to make friends. You are able to, like, I've played on professional Minecraft players. I've played on their servers and met a ton of friends on their servers. It is so much fun. Like, I have friends who play Minecraft like I play Minecraft, which is like really intense. And it's so fun to be around those people who love the game in the way that I love the game. And it's not hard to find. Like, there are communities everywhere. Like, there's public Cobblemon servers now. I personally don't have an interest in joining those, but if I wanted to, I could. So I've made friends through Minecraft and I've connected with friends like, hey, you should probably play Minecraft with us. And they're like, I don't really know. And now they're huge Minecraft players. And like, obviously, like the community in general, like I personally have done work with Mojang, which is the creators of Minecraft, and they're amazing. They treat their creators so well. So they've fostered a really positive community. And while the game is made for children, they do still cater to their older audience as well, which I find really fun too. So it's kind of just like a really positive feedback loop of the community.
So interesting. You said you, and I'm, this is going to be a very small dip into the world of work, but you mentioned you did some work with Mojang, the creators of Minecraft, and I'm assuming it was around accessibility, if I had to guess. Tell me more about Minecraft and accessibility.
For sure. I can't talk too much about specifics due to NDAs, but I can say like they've hired me to speak. So I have spoken for Mojang before, probably like 2 or 3 times now. So they really care about inclusion and diversity and disability in the workplace. That is something that they have put their money where their mouth is. They've brought me in several times. So the company itself really cares, but they are constantly striving for better accessibility. I have worked on several settings. I guess I can say that. And, they listen to the community. When people have barriers they run into, there is a team that is really trying to tackle those issues. Some recent accessibility settings they've integrated would be the ability to turn down field of view change, like if you're sprinting or flying, because that can be very disorienting. The ability to turn down the like portal effects that are quite also disorienting, turn those down. Like they made me very, very sick. So being able to turn those down. There's pulsing with some of the darkness effects, and you're able to change how the pulsing is. I turn mine totally off personally because it makes me really nauseous. So they've done a lot, and they've done a lot of projects to try to make Minecraft a game that everyone can play. And you can really see it in the way they handle accessibility, in the way they integrate it. You know, I'm a caption user as well. Minecraft runs captions, and they're constantly trying to think of new ways on how the captions could be made better, like directionality, information, and it's really exciting. So I think I've worked with them. Last time I worked with them was like maybe last year, and the stuff they're cooking is always so interesting.
That's awesome. As you said, Minecraft is a game for children, or at least that's sort of like the main audience. How do people react when you tell them you're a Minecraft player? Do you tell people you're a Minecraft player?
I think there are people who just don't understand gamers in general. And if I told them I play Minecraft, they wouldn't really get it. But I'm not ashamed that I play Minecraft. Like, I love the game. And I think I've gotten mixed answers from people. A lot of people are like, I don't get it. Why? Like, even like peers of mine who play other games, that I like to play cozy games as well. And they're just like, I don't get it. Like, I can't get past the aesthetic. I can't get past, you know, it's a kid's game. And it's hard for me to, I don't know, it's hard for me to be like, no, you don't get it, because you have to play it. Once you play it, you get it. But it's hard to be like, no, seriously, I promise, it's so cool. I'm not really worried about that. But I do think when people meet me with curiosity, I think that's my favorite time to like, oh, you're actually interested. But a lot of people are like, I just don't get the game. I don't get the aesthetic. There's creepers. I don't really understand. And I'm like, no, there's so much more. I've converted enough people that I feel good about it. Like, I'm like, ah, I've got enough people who were like, I don't get it. And now they're like, I love Minecraft.
That's interesting. What were the things or the moments that made them go, okay, I get it now?
I think it's when you finally accomplish something that you were working towards. So, for example, I had a friend who wanted to go like use a dirigible, essentially. And it's like, okay, I want a dirigible. All right, well, let's look down one step. How do you craft it? Okay, well, let's look at how those are crafted, and down and down and down. And when they finally got to the dirigible and they finally crafted it, and it was just like, oh my gosh, I did it. I did this. I made this. I did all of those micro steps to get to this. I think that's kind of when you can see people go, oh, I see. I can do that. Or another way that I've gotten friends to like really like, oh, I get it, is by giving them like God level gear and then say like, go, have fun, do some stuff. So in the mod pack we're playing right now, we have essentially a drill, and it blows through blocks. So we gave it to a friend. We're like, go. And they blew through blocks, went hundreds of blocks down, and they were like, I need this drill. I need this. And I'm like, cool, we'll show you how to craft it. We'll teach you. But it's like, I want this thing. I want to be a god tier player. So like, my armor, you don't take fall damage. The armor takes the damage. It's from an interesting like mechanical Minecraft mod. And so they're like falling off of hundreds of blocks, and they're like, I need this armor. And I'm like, we'll teach you how to craft it. And it's kind of that incentivizing of like, this game can be way more and way more fun. You've seen how it feels. Now let's get you there. And I think that's kind of when we see the light turn on for a lot of people.
We can't not mention the movie.
The movie. Yeah. Oh, the movie. We waited to watch it with our, like, we have a couple friend, our best friends, who are like our main Minecraft friends. And we went to visit them, and we all watched it together. And we played a drinking game. It was like, we decided anything that's not correct about Minecraft, like anything that's incorrect, we'll drink for it. We didn't even drink that much. It was pretty well made, but we actually like, we enjoyed the movie more than we thought we would. Like, we knew we were going to like a shitpost movie. So we weren't like expecting cinema, but we had a fun time with it. And it was cool to see they had a lot of creators that we know and that we watch kind of Easter egged into the movie. So it was a big nod to the communities. So I think it was done with respect, and it was done with good consultation. But like, was it like an amazing movie that I'm going to watch over and over? Absolutely not. But was it fun to watch and meme on and yell, you know, chicken jockey? And I have a friend who made the chicken farm that's in it. Is it fun to meme on? Absolutely. So, you know, I was kind of like not interested in anything about it, but watching it was really fun. And if anybody hasn't seen it, it's a silly, goofy watch. Like, you know, don't go into it, like I said, thinking it's going to be the best movie you've ever seen, but it exceeded our expectations, which were very low, but yeah.
So I'm curious to know, looking ahead into the future, where do you want to see Minecraft going?
Oh, for me, okay, so there's two different kinds of Minecraft. There's Minecraft Bedrock. Bedrock is what people play on like the Xbox or the Nintendo Switch. That game it's a lot more locked down. There are a lot more laws and things that they need to follow. Say, for example, to be on Nintendo, there are a lot of like child safety protections. Java is not the same. Java is the one that can be modded, can be changed. And for me, I just hope that Minecraft knowledge dump. When Minecraft started, the modding community was really, really big, because the game was like, this is a sandbox. There can be so much. But when 1.13 happened, it was called the flattening. And they changed a lot of code. They changed a lot of mechanics of the game to make it run more efficiently and to make it easier to update. And a lot of modders stopped. They were like, I'm not going to learn this new stuff. My mods are based on 1.13. So a lot of mods, unfortunately, kind of died. And a lot of modders moved on with their lives. They had kids. They, you know, they're grownups. They just don't have time for modding anymore. And enough time has passed now that a new generation of modders have started, and they're picking up the old mods and bringing them up to current date, which is, to me, is so cool for someone to be like, hey, like a really famous mod from back in the day is called Greg Tech. And Greg Tech, this guy named Greg, very much autistic, I guarantee it. He made this mod pack, and it is a mechanical mod pack, and it is wild. My partner loved Greg Tech. And now, because Greg Tech died, people are now making like ode to and like and saying like, hey, this is like Greg Tech renewed and Greg Tech revisited. And like, it's just so cool to see that, where people are like, hey, these mods that meant a lot to me, like when I was like 10, 11, 12, I'm now an adult and I have time and I've learned to code. And now I'm making these mod packs. So for me, for the future, I want to see the modding community continue. It's teaching kids how to code. It's teaching kids how to do server end processing. It's teaching kids, you know, really, really cool skills. Like, I've learned more JSON code than I ever thought I would. But it's, I don't know, there's mods, but there's also tweaks. And tweaks are, they're different than mods because they can just be run on a server, even a vanilla server. And there are people who are learning just to do tweaks. And I just think that's the coolest thing, is this new generation. Or maybe it's people who picked it up from when they, you know, they were doing it in their dorm room, and now they're doing it in their house. And I just want to see that continue, because there's so much creativity and it's bringing so much life into the community in general. There are some mods that like I can't play without, because to me, they're accessibility settings, they're accessibility, you know, mods, because they're quality of life. But when you have cognitive disabilities, and I have disabilities in my hands, like I have physical disabilities, there are some mod packs I can't play without. So for people to keep pushing the game to be better and pushing it further, faster than Mojang can, because they're hobbyists, is something that really excites me. And I want to see that more in the future.
You mentioned that you've made a lot of friends through Minecraft. What are some other things that you've noticed that Minecraft has an effect on you, or an impact on your life, or how you do certain things?
Oh, that's a great question. Between like the social aspect. So for me, canonically, I went through autistic burnout. So I was really, really struggling for a couple years to kind of just be a human, because I had fried my nervous system. So Minecraft was an escape, and it was a place that I could go. And like I said, I would put podcasts on, or typically for me, audiobooks, and just dig for hours. And it was just enough stimulation. It was like not overwhelming for me. And it was huge for my recovery, just having something that I enjoyed. And, you know, in like they say, engaging in special interests is healing for autistic people. So I did that. And so for me, day to day, like, it's nice to know if I'm ever overstimulated, or if I'm ever struggling, that I have Minecraft to fall back on, just a game that I can just go dig. I can just, you know, turn on music and turn my brain off. Or if I'm like feeling like I really need to socialize, I can, hey, you want to go on an adventure? And get on with comms with friends who are across the world. And it's there for me to know, you know, I always have this game to fall back on. And I think that's really cool. And like, my partner and I play. So it's like it's a part of our relationship as well, where we'll have like, we just had a mining date night and it was so much fun. We just hang out on comms and mine together, and we're both good at different things. So it's fun to like play off strengths. So I don't know, that's hopefully answers your question, but it's done a lot for me positively.
That's awesome. Shell, where can people find you?
People can find me for non-Minecraft related things, or Minecraft related things. Mojang can hire me again. You can find me on Blue Sky, Shell E Little. You can find me at my website, which is shellelittle.com. You can find me on LinkedIn at Shell E Little. I don't check LinkedIn, so if you don't hear from me, don't feel bad. But my website has a contact thing on it, so feel free to fill that out. I do check that, and I will get back to you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.